Hi there, and welcome to the American Marketing Association Marketing Power Podcast Series. I'm your host, David Kennard, and with me today is the expert in the field of global top-level domains. Perhaps you heard about them in the news last December when Rich Stockton was joining us then. It was breaking news then, and it's breaking news again today because that .com, that .gov, that .org just got a whole lot bigger with some potential new arrivals to cyberspace. Rich, welcome back to the program. It was great having you here last December when we talked about global top-level domains, GTLDs. It's an acronym that stuck in my head. What's happened from December when we last spoke to today?
Boy, there's been lots of stuff that's happened. There are now, there's now been an announcement from ICANN, the Internet's governing body, as to all of the applicants for these new domain, generic top-level domains that are supposed to change the Internet. And we know now that there are 1,930 different applications. Just to give this number some context, each of these applicants take close to $185,000 just to apply for them. So this is $350 million in fees that went to this ICANN organization. But the announcement came on June 13th. And of those 1,930 applications, about 1,200 of them, or about 60%, are their sole applicants for that particular generic top-level domain. Now, for the remainder, there were actually 231 generic top-level domain strings in which there were two applicants or more. So those are going to be the interesting ones in some sense going forward, because there are going to be some fights back and forth about who is going to be entitled to get those generic top-level domains.
Okay, so I want to just review some of this really quick here. 1,930 applicants paid on average around $185,000 to get their own domain. That's like a .com or a .richstockton or a .davidkennard. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and 1,200 are the sole applicants. What's going to happen with those 1,200 people that have no competition for their name?
Well, the 1,200 people, they presented their application. So what happens next in those situations is ICANN is reviewing their applications for a certain set of basic criteria.
Okay.
The grounds include, do they have the technical wherewithal? Do they have the financial wherewithal? And do they have the administrative capability to run a generic top-level domain space? If ICANN believes this is true, and if no one in the public objects, then these domain name, or these generic top-level domain names, would proceed to be delegated, which is ICANN code speak for you'll soon be able to actually go out and access internet websites through these generic top-level domains. That could happen as early as March 2013.
Okay, so if all goes well and everyone goes through the review process, and you know, just this, you mentioned the abilities, the financial, operational, administrative abilities. It's not just $185,000 in application fees that costs. To operate a general top-level domain, you need some significant sustainability power, don't you?
You sure do. The $185,000, that's just the application fee. So you need to show that you have money to be able to maintain this generic top-level domain space far into the future. And that's one of the categories ICANN will be looking at. Some people have thrown numbers around and said this is going to cost these operators as much as $500,000 a year. It depends on how they use the generic top-level domain, though. If it's something internal to their company, it may not cost that much because they may not have a lot of domain names registered within this generic top-level domain. But if they go out and they're actually doing a lot of registrar services, you know, they're mm-hmm. they're doing the type of work that, say, GoDaddy would do or Enum would do, then there could certainly be some additional costs. They're going to have customer service costs. They're going to have administrative costs associated with running lots of servers. And everything would begin to mount up quickly.
So you also mentioned there are about 231 that applicants that or domains, excuse me, that had two or more applicants attached to that that name. Do you have any of the ones that you can share? Who were the more popular ones, and what's the process for arm wrestling out who gets what?
Sure, of course. Well, there were 231, as we said, in which there were multiple applicants. That's about 750 total applications. So you can figure on average that's about three applicants for each of these domain names. Some good representative examples would include .baseball as well as .buy. .buy had, I believe, five or six different applicants. .baseball only had two. But the reason I brought these up is they're both very instructive in that they kind of show some of the battles that are going to come forward later. With .buy, obviously where these GTLD aspiring operators are going is you would have a spot if you wanted to buy, say, perhaps you could consider Windex. So you would go to Windex.buy, and there would be a page where you could click, and you could say, I want to buy five tubs of or five spray bottles of Windex, and the materials would be sent to you. These different applicants are all just competing for the same type of thing, and none of them have a distinct advantage. Now, with .baseball, what's interesting is you have one company that wants to run what appears to be sort of more of a generic space, and they are pitted against Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball in this situation, it seems pretty clear if you look at Major League Baseball's current offerings. They want to have Cardinals.baseball, they want to have Tigers.baseball, Yankees.baseball, all the way through. And it will be interesting to see the how the two applicants stack up and how ICAM weighs the value of each of those applications.
Is there clear criteria? I mean, does the underdog have as much option and luck in getting this domain as Major League Baseball would, or is it going to be obvious goes to the more, what somebody might think, a more legitimate organization?
Well, what's interesting is that if both applicants pass the initial evaluation, again, on grounds of billing, technical, and admin capability, if there are identical applied for strings as there are here, the domain, the generic top-level domains go to auction. And if I'm a betting man, I'm betting on Major League Baseball.
They got deeper pockets.
Certainly, and there are some battles where it's actually Google versus Amazon, so I'm sure ICANN is absolutely delighted at that, as they will be receiving the monies from the auction. So you
that
can
$350 million was just a drop in the bucket, perhaps.
Yeah, you can imagine two behemoths who both think that, for example, .cloud is a extremely valuable generic top-level domain, and they're willing to pay for it, and they're going to pay ICANN for the pleasure of doing that. So there are some legal rights objections, too, and that's sort of, no pun intended, the curveball here, is that some legal rights objections could potentially be filed, and some people could try to claim that one or both of these applications are not proper and try to derail them from the outset and thus avoid an auction. I would see that as maybe the David play in the case of .baseball. It's a home run,
yeah,
is what they're hoping for.
So for those 1,200 that were sole applicants for a domain, if everything goes well, they could go live as early as March 2013. What about these 231 that had multiple applicants? When could we see .baseball or .cloud hitting the Internet?
Well, it could be as early. If there's an objection filed, the objections could be resolved as early as probably mid-2013. It's a little bit murky right now on exact deadlines, but that's what appears to be the case. Now, it could be that these guys work it out behind the scenes, and the little guy decides all of a sudden, you know what, we're not in this, perhaps because Major League Baseball pays them a large sum of money not to be in it. So they could be moved up. So some of these could, in theory, come into play as early as March of 2013 as well. But most people think the objection process will take hold. The initial evaluation periods may be extended, especially when there's multiple applications, because there's a frame of reference for ICANN to judge the applications. and they probably won't go into place, my guess would be, until well over a year after the initial delegations.
Okay, so we won't see anything hitting right away. But one of the concerns I know marketers may be having here is, what happens if we get DavidKennard.sucks out there or DavidKennard.idiot out there? Were companies actively trying to protect their brand name? Or what about those sites that may be set up to create a PR nightmare for some companies?
Well, great question. I mean, the threshold matter is that, in general, companies with brands have been opposed to this process.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly some additional functionality that some of the companies are looking at and have been very attracted to, but most companies feel that this is now another dimension of the universe that they have to protect their brands on, and they've had enough frustration trying to protect their brands with the existing top-level domains that are out there. You know, there's 22 generic top-level domains, and then there's about 250 country code top-level domains, such as .uk, .de, and the like. And companies have been very frustrated protecting their brands across those spaces. So they've been very concerned here. Now, to add to that concern, you now have these new spaces, such as .sucks, which companies feel they may have a lot of trouble defending their rights against. But The reality of it is that we do, at least in the United States, we recognize free expression. And they've had to, these companies have had to tolerate existing domain names that say that. So, for example, MajorLeagueBaseballSucks.com, that may have been a situation where Major League Baseball may not have liked what was on that particular site, and this is just a hypothetical example.
Sure.
They may not have liked it, but they probably would have a lot of difficulty removing the content unless it was clearly out of the park or clearly inappropriate or generally just not acceptable or suggesting that there's a connection with Major League Baseball. So That Sucks has, in fact, received several applications. It's one of these 230 jointly applied for domains. Looking at the applications, which you can see them online, you can study them. Looking at the applications, they all kind of say this. They say there needs to be a community of expression for people to log on and register their concerns with different companies. And you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you can certainly envision, just as companies have sued Google over AdWords and keyword use and the use of keywords to promote others' products when someone types in a word to search in Google, you can certainly see certain brand owners maybe trying to file legal proceedings against ICANN on the ground that they're somehow, you know, promoting or vicariously endorsing the infringement of those trademarks. Unfortunately for those brand owners, ICANN, as part of their $350 million windfall here, has said that we're establishing a legal defense fund. And at one time, it was one-third of the amounts that were coming in, so that would be $110 million here. That they have to defend themselves. I suspect it's not quite that high, but it's still a force to be reckoned with. And
ICANN
clearly is prepared for challenges that may come from these domains.
Well, let's switch over to the consumer side, because I would imagine that the vast majority of small and medium-sized businesses in the country, this just went by them. They did not have $185,000 to apply, nor did they have the gumption to want to maintain a top-level domain. Some marketers are going to say that this is going to create chaos in the consumer space. We've already had, as you mentioned, nearly two dozen other top-level domains that have not been widely adopted. And now we could have an explosion of nearly 2,000 of these. What's a consumer to do? Isn't this just going to make the Internet and the cyberspace absolutely chaotic for consumers?
It may. No one really knows where it's going to go, David. I think the underlying assumption that a lot of these companies have made, particularly a company called Donuts, which has more than 300 applications of the 1900, is that consumers will migrate to this space, and that's a huge if. No one knows the answer. No one knows the answer to that question. Personally, I think they will. It's just a question of when, not if. But getting directly to your question, it's not clear, even if consumers do migrate from .com, whether they're going to go to some of these domain names. You know, there's a domain name .audio, you know, and what is .audio? And are you going to have people who are interested in speakers? Are they going to remember to go to speakers.audio or go to the, you know, whatever brand.audio? How are they going to proceed with these generic top-level domains? And it's just, it's entirely unclear. But I think what ICANN has said here is, let's let the market decide. And, yeah, there may be some consumer confusion, but and consumers may be, you know, more wondering, you know, exactly where do we go on the Internet. But some of these spaces will likely take off and some won't. And let's just let the market and let consumers decide that.
There's also a pro to all of this. Many are saying this is going to help because a company will be able to manage all of the activity in their particular domain. This is going to help minimize the amount of scams and phishing and other unscrupulous behavior that might be happening. So if I want to go to .vacation, everything under that .vacation will be managed by the owner of that, and I should be more protected. Is that a fair argument?
It's a very fair argument, and this goes to functionality as well. So, for example, several banks applied. So there's .Chase and there's .Barclays, and what Chase can say is quite simply, if you're not banking at .Chase, you're on a scam site. I mean, we all have inboxes filled with all these crazy emails from Nigeria saying, click here to change your password and give us your account info. It's been compromised, and those scams fool thousands of consumers every year. But now Chase can say, look, if you're not on .Chase, you're not safe. So there are some clear consumer advantages here. You're right. It's no doubt a mixed bag.
Where can somebody find out where this list is at? You mentioned that it's online and people can review it. Maybe I want to go out there and see if my competitor has filed for an application, or to see how the space might be changing so that I as a marketer can get a head start on what I want to do with my online property or how I want to manage my online consumers. Where can I find out where that list is at?
You can go to www.icann.com. .org, and ICANN has two N's.
I-C-A-N-N.
That's correct. And at the very top of this page, you will see June 13th reveal day, the day it all becomes clear. And that ominous text leads to a link that will show you all of the different strings that have applied.
And if there are objections to be made, I understand there's a window of opportunity here for somebody to raise their voice and say, wait a second, how long is that window, and is ICANN the organization that you raise your objection to?
Well, there are two quick things. One is you can submit comments, and the comments are due August 12th. You can also enter into legal rights or different types of objections, including legal rights, such as, you know, your brand is being compromised by one of these GTLD applications. The deadline for those hasn't officially been set, but it's supposed to be approximately seven months, which would mean January of 2013 from this reveal date. So those are the two key deadlines for people to keep in mind.
And lastly, there's some people who are going to say, why did this happen in the first place? I mean, who is ICANN, and what gives them the right to create this amount of chaos and frenzy and just disrupt what seems to have been a pretty good system so far? What gives them the authority and the ability to force this disruptive change?
Well, the Internet was largely, way back in the early days, the Internet came out of the U.S. Department of Defense. There were other international bodies that were involved. There were universities that were involved as well. And gradually, the U.S. government, which had a rather substantial stake in the Internet, sort of delegated or allowed ICANN to operate and become more international. And ICANN, beginning in about 2008, looked around and said, you know, we've added some generic top-level domains and pieces before. A common one would have been .biz, for example, but now we think we should open it up and that it's best for the Internet. There was a lot of controversy and a lot of objections, but ultimately ICANN got away with it, and they were allowed to do this, and they think it's the right thing. And they've been able to implement this. They've spent a lot of money. A lot of people would say they've given a lot of thought into it. There are certainly plenty of application materials, and there were plenty of times for comments, but they were allowed to do it. And there really wasn't a government body that was able to stop them from doing it, even though there was some opposition expressed, including in our own U.S. Senate.
Hmm. Well, look at that. It's amazing how the web continues to operate in a free fashion and on its own. So, Rich, thanks so much. Now, if somebody wants more information about this, they're not the experts, but they want to pursue perhaps a legal option or get more information from a legal perspective, how can they get a hold of you and your firm to ask questions, or where can they go for more information?
Sure. Well, they can visit our website of Banner & Wyckoff, which is www.bannerwyckoff.com, and that's Banner spelled like a sign, W-I-T-C-O-F-F as in Frank. They can also email me at rstockton@bannerwyckoff.com.
All right. I've been talking with Rich Stockton. He is a partner at Banner & Wyckoff, and this is his second appearance with us. Rich, I think we're going to have you back as we get to near to the March 2013 date to find out what shook out from all of this amazing activity in the Internet space. Thanks so much for joining us, and thank you, everyone, for listening to the American Marketing Association Marketing Power Podcast Series. If you want more information about this topic, go to bannerwyckoff.com and reach out to Rich. Again, rstockton@bannerwyckoff.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the RSS feed on marketingpower.com to get an update on great podcast interviews like the one today. Also check out the AMA's newest way to deliver you the latest in industry trends. That's at AMA TV. All of this is available at marketingpower.com. Until next time, I've been your host, David Kennard, and thanks for joining us.